Good morning. One of the most dangerous things in life is not always open rebellion. It is dangerous, but it's not the most dangerous. Sometimes the greatest danger is not a sudden fall, but a slow drift. A person does not drift away all the time towards safety. A lot of times it takes them to a very dangerous place where death is awaiting. That is why the writer here in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 warns about drifting away. The warning is just as urgent now as it was when it was written. It is so dangerous because it's not just all of a sudden fall to where they just leave and never come back. It starts gradually. And even with drifting, we see it always begins somewhere. And we'll see here soon, it always begins with neglecting certain areas in our spiritual life. Because once again, many do not wake up one day and decide, I'm going to leave the Lord. Instead, it all as well begins with not paying attention. And so Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, our main text. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. It's not often quiet and unnoticeable at first. It's usually gradual, meaning a slow slope downwards. And it happens, it may take days, months, maybe even years to see it. This person will tend sometimes. He still may believe in God, but inwardly something has changed. His heart is no longer anchored to the Lord as it once was. You know, when we think about a ship, there's a reason they have anchors. Because without those anchors, what happens? It drifts away. And that is why our heart and mind should be anchored to the Lord. Spiritually, it is often little things that ruin us. As we see in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Seize the foxes for us, the little foxes that are wreaking destruction on the vineyards, while our vineyards are in blossom. It's not always just one giant disaster, but many small compromises. And what could some of these small compromises be? Well, prayer, neglecting prayer. That's how we depend on God. That's how we communicate with God. Missing assemblies, another compromise. We look at the assembly, at worship, like it's optional, like it's not that important. That's why we have the mindset. That's why we find the mindset in many, I want Jesus but not the church. These are the very same people who find themselves drifting away. They want Jesus but not the church. Well, it doesn't happen that way. And the assembly is where we find truth. The assembly is where we find godly encouragement. Bitterness left undressed. People, when we allow bitterness to live and grow its roots, it turns into anger. And sometimes anger into violence. Who knows? Worldliness tolerated. Not just here in the church, but in the homes. And then finally, little less love for the truth. These are the small compromises that many seem, it's not that bad. But once these take root, you're going to find yourself slowly drifting away. Secondly, it starts with neglect. Drifting begins when we neglect what we have heard. Notice what the writer says in Hebrews 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. he does not say, lest somebody forcibly drags us away. He does not say that. He says, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. How does this happen? By failing to pay close attention to what we have heard. We know the Christian life, or we should know, that the Christian life requires attention, diligence, and watchfulness. Peter says in his letters, be watchful. Be watchful. That means look around. You know, that's one thing that soldiers will talk about when they're in the field, when they're out in battle, when they're patrolling in these dangerous areas. They are watching rooftops, they are watching the ground, they are watching every movement. And then they say when they get back home, that doesn't leave them. When they're walking, it's a habit. They're looking at different places. Why? Because you got to think about tripwires. You got to talk about roadside bombs. You got to talk about snipers, suicide bombers. I mean, it was a terrible situation. For us, we need to be watchful. We need to be diligent. We need to pay attention. And most importantly, the gospel must be remembered. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the next two verses, for if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every trespass and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That salvation first spoken by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard. Who are those who have heard, who confirmed it? The apostles. And then the disciples would hear, remember, and go pass it on. They remembered the word. They remembered their Lord and what he had commanded. But notice the word neglect here. If we neglect so great a salvation. Many souls are not lost because they openly curse God. Yes, that does confirm they are lost. They are of the world. But many are lost because they neglect so great a salvation. How do we neglect this? By not obeying. We have received salvation through Jesus Christ by believing and obeying what he has told us to do. And so we have places like the Great Commission. We have Paul's letters to the Corinthians. We have Paul's letters to Timothy and so forth and so on, who tell us how we are to live. How do we neglect salvation? By neglecting this very book right here. That's how we neglect the salvation. This is the book that leads us to know who salvation is through and how to receive salvation. Because neglect is dangerous because it feels passive. It does not seem aggressive or shocking. We don't look at neglect like something that's dangerous. We don't. But we should. And we should start seeing neglect. Because, you know, when we think about drifting away, it isn't, I mean, the people of the world have already drifted away. They're lost. When we look at a brother and sister in Christ who are drifting away, there are areas in their spiritual life they're neglecting. And we need to be able to help them, encourage them. We need to be able to show them, hey, do this and you'll be okay. And so drifting happens when our love grows cold. A Christian may still know the truth, yet lose warmth, passion, and tenderness he once had. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. But if not, I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. This is the definition of what drifting away looks like. The church here that's spoken of, they did a lot of things right, but they left their first love. What was that? Many scholars will debate what that first love is. Well, I'll tell you what it is. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's the first love. So their love for God and toward God has grown cold. They're drifting. You know, a Christian may still go through the motions, but not have the same for Christ. There are plenty of Christians who just go through the motions, and not just in worship, but in daily life. You know, I understand, and we all should understand, that life does get busy, especially if you have kids. I mean, yeah, it gets busy. But in order to love our children properly in a correct way, to love our husbands and wives in a correct way, we need to first and only love God. He needs to be the first and foremost on our mind, heart, and soul. The Christian may still wear the name of a disciple, but not have the same joy in serving the Lord. These are just signs, and they're not very clear. They can be sitting in the pew right beside of you, going through the motions. You would never know. They're struggling inwardly. They need help. They're crying out. When the heart is no longer fully His, drifting is underway. Drifting is underway when our heart does not belong to God. So why is it dangerous? Drifting is dangerous because it hardens the heart. One of the greatest themes of the book of Hebrews is the danger of a hardened heart. And we have examples, and we are shown what a hardened heart does. You go all the way back to Exodus, to Pharaoh. Before God hardened his heart, Pharaoh was already beforehand hardening his own heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, "See to it, brothers, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Once again, drifting is tied to hardening. Drifting is tied to hardening. Why is that? It happens through deceitfulness of sin. Sin lies to us. Yes, it promises people the whole world, but it's lying. It tells us you are fine. This is not that serious. You can fix this later. You do not need to be so strict. One step away will not matter. You know, drifting begins. Well, I can miss one Sunday this month and be okay. And then eventually it becomes two Sundays, three Sundays, and then you're gone. It looks like, you know what? I'm tired today. I've had a hard day. I'm not going to spend time in God's Word. It'll be okay to miss one day. But eventually what happens? It becomes consistent. Prayer. Well, I pray before I eat. I pray before I go to bed. Well, that's great. But is it a dependent prayer? Is it consistent? Once again, missing these things will only harm us. Sin deceives. It never tells the truth. It hardens the heart and leads a person away from the living God. And so, what does it begin with? Well, drifting often begins with spiritual carelessness. There are some practical ways drifting begins. And let's talk about the Word. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Here is Christ, 40 days, 40 nights. He fasted. Satan comes and tempts him. Of course, Satan asks him, "Well, you're God, turn the stone into bread." We see here, once again, Christ showing the importance of his Father's words. You know, it's funny because we would never skip a day without food, would we? If we look at each other, we're pretty healthy, right? Some way. We make sure we have food. When our body tells us, hey, we need food, we need nourishment, guess what we do? We go to the fridge or we go to a restaurant. We will never skip a day without food. So why do we think it's okay to skip a day without nourishing our souls, giving it what it needs, which is the Word of God? Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You cannot stay spiritually strong while ignoring the very thing that builds faith. This book builds our faith. It makes us stronger. It helps us overcome the temptations, the obstacles that we face. Yet, do we neglect it? Are we careless with it? Is it collecting dust on our coffee table? Secondly, carelessness toward prayer. As Paul tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. When you look at all of Paul's letters, it's interesting. He always starts off with his introduction about who he is, of course, but then he always talks about praying for them, remembering them always. And I think that is just a great thing to make as a part of our life. Prayer is essential. When prayer disappears, dependence on God disappears. Drifting Christians are often prayerless Christians. Think about that. Drifting Christians are often prayerless Christians. We don't see the seriousness of prayer and what it can do. And third, carelessness toward the assembly. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When we look at the Hebrew writer, he stresses not neglecting, because it will cost us to drift away. And when we drift away, our hearts will be hardened. The greatest theme in this book. When we neglect his word, when we neglect prayer, when we neglect the assembly, you will drift away because you are not anchored to the Lord. Your anchor has been brought up and you are slowly drifting into dangerous territory. We know that the people on the outside of Christ are lost. But in order to help them, we need to start by helping ourselves and making sure we are living according to his word and that we are in it daily, that we have a strong prayer life, and that we are assembling together, being examples for others. Because if you don't, it's going to be the blind leading the blind. That's what's going to happen. The blind leading the blind. And so the question is this morning, Have you begun to drift away? Really look down in your soul. Drifting away, there is no joy. You don't have the same joy as you once did in the Lord. You're going through the motions every Sunday, every Wednesday. Or maybe you're missing too much. Here's what you need to do. You need to rekindle that fire that you once had for the Lord. And how do you do that? By getting back to nourishing your soul through His Word, through prayer, and through coming here and being built up by the brothers and sisters that you have in Christ. You need to repent. You need to come back. But for those who may still belong to the world, what you need to do is get right with Christ and to do as He has commanded you to do in His Word. And this is what He has commanded you to do. First, hear the Word, Romans 10:17. Believe that Word, Mark 16:15-16. Without belief, there's nothing more we can do for you. You must hear and believe. But it doesn't stop there. You must repent. Means change. The gospel changes. The gospel transforms us. It should. We are no longer the same person who was enslaved to sin. We have changed our mind, our heart, and we're turning back to God. And then we must confess our faith. Romans 10:9-10. We must confess our faith in Christ. We must confess Him before men. Not deny Him, but confess Him before men. Make known who we are by our actions, by our love. But it doesn't stop there. Like so many false doctrines teach, we are called to be immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15-16, 1 Peter 3:21. When we are put in the water, our old self is being buried, and the blood of Christ washes over us. And as we raise out of that water, we become new. We are walking in newness of life in that moment. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. That means you must remain anchored in Christ. And what details are hidden there? You must be consistent in His Word daily. You must be consistent in prayer. You must be consistent to worship and to be together with the saints. That's the solution. It's very simple. Yet, we overcomplicate it and make it hard because of our own desires. This morning, we need to rededicate, refocus, rekindle that fire, and to get back on the horse and keep marching forward. If you're here this morning, you need Christ. I pray and hope that you decide this morning to give your life to Christ. Come. And come as we stand and as we sing.